Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, conversations like this one regarding body cameras, they have occurred in the past. Certainly, they've occurred here in Australia. They've occurred in places overseas like the United States where body cameras are largely employed. Do you think we'd be having this conversation right now, though, if the pensioner involved, the mentally ill man involved in this incident, had not had security cameras installed around the outside of his home? Something that is, in a sense, a bit unusual.
Yeah, that was the deal breaker. And what was even more concerning, I think, arising out of this incident was that when the police made their own notes and submitted their reports, not being aware of the fact that they'd been filmed, they differed quite substantially from the way in which we now are able to compare, given the footage. For example, they had maintained that the man came out of the door with his fists and, you know, approached them menacingly, and you can quite see clearly that he's put his hands up to defend himself with an open palm. So that's the great concern. I think body cameras in those circumstances would have enabled us to get a far better picture.
And I suppose in that kind of picture, it would have kept the police officers involved from misreporting their own sort of recollections.
Yes, and indeed, there's another aspect of that as well, that when you're looking at a CCTV from above, you can't actually see the interaction that the police officer sees. Now, I'm not at this stage defending what the police did. Ultimately, once they got him on the ground, that seemed very much excessive to me, and ultimately that'll come out in inquiry. But what you don't see from the CCTV camera is the nature of that first altercation. I think we can glean probably what it was, but you don't actually get the police officer's perspective unless you've got the body-worn camera. The advantage of the body-worn camera is that you're seeing exactly what it was the police officer saw, and that's a lot more helpful than an aerial shot, for example, from a CCTV.
I think the most recent discussion around body cameras prior to this, certainly that made it into the Australian news, was the shooting of Australian woman Justine Damond in the United States. The police officers involved in that one were wearing body cameras, but actually had turned them off, I believe, immediately after the shooting. How effective are these kind of cameras if there's not a requirement to say they're running 24/7?
And that's a very good question. As I understand it, they hadn't operated or activated the cameras at all in that interaction. So we had no vision of any part of that whole experience in Minneapolis, which, of course, is very regrettable because we'd be able to make some judgment about whether or not he was in fear of his life, which he claims he was when he shot Justine Damond. So, yes, what you're saying, and I think is absolutely right, that we have to get the protocols right. There have been a number of trials. Victoria, I should say, is the first one that's going to make them compulsory. At the moment, they are available in certain circumstances for police to use. They're widespread, I should say, in Australia. And the protocols now, as I understand it, are that typically they'll be switched on and off rather than have them run 24 hours a day. And of course, you've got personal conversations that you don't necessarily need to keep a record of. Obviously, there are toilet stops and there are other things that no one would expect to have filmed. But yes, when they are operationalised and when Victoria goes ahead and makes them compulsory, and presumably they'll become compulsory across Australia for all of our frontline police officers, and there's some 40,000 of them, we'll have to have very clear and tight protocols in relation to when and where they'll be turned on and off, and, for example, privacy issues, where they're stored, how they're stored, for how long they're stored, all those sorts of questions will need to be put into a very clear and concise lot of protocols and then heavily regulated to make sure they work.
Well, as you say, the Victoria Police are, in fact, rolling them out this month. 2020, I believe, they are looking to have all police officers across the state equipped with them. And as you mentioned, New South Wales has them using cameras, has police officers using cameras in a number of commands. But this talk of protocols, do you think this particular incident we've seen this week is going to reignite some of the debate around the protocols, when and how they should be used?
It will. And in fact, I think it will just heighten the urgency of getting it right and potentially heighten the urgency of ensuring that the police actually do wear them. Now, there's a two-way process here. Of course, not only does it assist people to say, well, actually, I was attacked by the police or I was manhandled badly by the police, But in other circumstances, of course, the police were able to say, well, the reason I acted that way, look at the footage, is because they came at me menacingly. So it works in both directions. It'll both assist the process of defending police and assist the process in assisting people who maintain the police were actually aggressive towards them. So I think on balance, they are a very useful transparency tool heading down a greater degree of accountability. Let's not suggest they are everything to do with accountability, but certainly they'll be able to ensure that the facts are on the table when people go back and revisit these altercations.
Yeah, I think on balance, I think most people would say there are more good cops out there than bad ones. But just a final word on accountability there, Rick. You've said previously that while body cameras add a layer of transparency, they cannot be the sole driver of greater accountability. So in your opinion, what else do you think needs to be done to ensure greater accountability amongst Australian police?
Well, I think that we have to continue down this path of ensuring that our training is world's best standard. I don't think anyone would come away from watching that footage and suggest that those police officers all, now the six of them, of course, we can't say each one of them was equally culpable, but all behaved in a way which we would accept as an appropriate way for a police service to operate. So clearly, body cameras or no, we have to have sufficient training, sufficient police culture to ensure that those sorts of altercations are dealt with in relation to world's best practice. And if we have people who just look a little bit more violent or are suffering from PTSD or in some other way are reacting or overreacting out of kilter and out of expectation with what the public is expecting from our police officers, we have to ensure they're weeded out and not put in the front line. In other words, we can expect better than that. We've seen police display some aggressive and I think totally inappropriate behaviour. The cameras will go some way to ensuring that those police will better operate in the future. But don't forget, they have to be trained properly and they have to be rotated in and out of that front line on a basis which we consider to be appropriate.
Rick, absolutely appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure, Sean.